I'm glad to see all of you. I'm glad that you're here. And most of all, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is here. He promised to be here. If we were just two or three are gathered together in his name, he would be in the midst of us. So I'm very thankful for that. There are some times that the Lord gives you a message. And in some ways, you know, the scripture says very plainly that the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Now, in just our day-to-day vernacular, that just simply means the preacher that gets up here to preach must first have digested the things that he's saying and have a clear understanding and live up to the level of what he's saying. All right? It's never okay for a preacher to stand up and say, "Don't do as I do, do as I say." Never. And if that preacher, a person is trying to share with you the word of God, if he gets up there and he or she or whoever it is gets up there and tells you that, they may be telling you what's right, but don't be up under that. You understand what I mean? You can do better than that. So our desire is to be faithful to the Lord. Now, I am going to have to lay the foundation. What we're going to talk, if I'm going to give a title to this discourse, it would be a little city called Zoar. A couple of Sundays ago when we ministered, it seemed like the Lord's given me an impression on little things. So we're going to talk about the little things. But the main core of what I believe the Lord wants us to talk about is down at the bottom of what I want to say. So I want to lay a foundation, all right? And I want us to go to Genesis. We're going to talk a little bit about Genesis in Genesis. And I want us to turn, first of all, to let's see, where do I want to start? Let's go to the 13th chapter of Genesis. And I want to start reading at the 8th verse. And what I want to do is I want to lay a foundation. The first thing that I want to talk about is Lot. We're talking about Lot, and we're talking about Lot's character. And this shows something about Lot's character here, all right? Genesis 13, verse 8.
And Abram said unto Lot,
let there be no strife. So to give the backstory, Lot is Abraham's nephew. And they have come out of Egypt, and they're traveling. They get to a particular area, and they're rich. They're rich. They've got plenty of cattle, silver and gold. You can read that. I'll just kind of give us the background, so trying to establish the scene here. And now they come to a place, and he says, and Abraham, it's where their herdsmen, Lot's herdsmen, Abraham's herdsmen, were striving with each other. So we pick up the story here. And Lot lifted up his eye, and Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. It is not
the whole land before thee?
Yes.
Separate
thyself, I pray thee, from me.
If thou wilt
take the left hand, I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou cometh into Zoar. So this is the time that we're going to hear about Zoar. So in essence, what is happening, I want us to look at Lot in particular. Abraham is concerned about what's going on with Lot. He said, listen, we be brethren. We're not going to fight over pasture, over land. We're not going to do that. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. It doesn't matter. We just need to split up. That way we have plenty of space between us and there's no issues. We love each other and we're not going to fight. We're not going to fight about it. You know, that's good for us. You know, people fight. I've heard about people fighting their relatives and I don't want to have anything to do with them. Just humble yourself, just like Abraham did. He's not concerned about himself. He's concerned about the relationship. That's what Abraham was concerned about. That's what we need to be concerned about as well. But look at Lot. So what does Lot do?
And Lot
lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Is that where we are?
Yes. It was well watered
everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. That's the garden. So he looked at that. He looked at the plain. It's what you said. I can go to the left. You can go to the right. And he looked at it and he comes to a conclusion that, you know what? This is well watered. And this is going to be good for my cows. It's going to be good for my goats. It's going to be good for the herd, right? It's just like the land of Egypt as you're coming to the Zoar. Yeah. Then Lot chose him. What did he choose? He chose all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So now the first thing that I'd like to do is establish Lot's character trait. Now, we all have character traits, and we all have something that is wrong with us, really. There's not a person, anybody say, oh, now I'm perfect. No, none of us are. We all have certain things about us that we have to cultivate or we have to pluck out. And maybe Lot's was that he's looking at around and he's saying, you know, what's in it for me? What's the best thing for me to do? What's the easy thing for me to do? And I think that's very important for us to get a hold of. Some of us have that character trait. Some of us have the character trait that we're going to do what's easiest and what's best for us despite what everybody else is doing. Now, I am not necessarily saying that that's wrong in and of itself, because all of us have that character trait to some degree. And so what we have to do, we have to make certain that we balance that, because that's going to have an effect on us on down the road. If you're always looking for the easy way out, there's going to always be a problem that you're going to have, that somebody's not going to give you the easy way out. And what do we do at that point? Lay down on the ground, kick and scream, and have a temper tantrum? You're not going to always have the easy way out. You need to understand that, all right? So here is Lot. I want to establish that. He's looking for what's best in it for him. It's a transactional situation, and I want what's best for me, and this is what he did, all right? So we're going to go on down, and I want to set that in motion, because that's very important. The easy way, looking for the easier way out, that's very important in what we're going to talk about, what we're really talking about, this little city called Zoar. Now, I want to establish that. We've established that with him. I want us to go a little further. I want us to go to the 19th chapter. The 19th chapter of Genesis. As I say, we all have character traits. We all have things about us that we need the Lord to help us to work on. Some of us are, and all of us probably have some of all of the character traits, because it's human character traits, right? But then ultimately what the Lord wants to do, there are some, the brother was saying, somebody was saying that they have a problem with patience. Well, that happens to be something that I have. It's really something that all of us have at some point in our lives, right? And the Lord tells his brother, I'm not going to let your horn work, because I want to work on you, on your patience. Now, it was your fault that you're running late. It's not that cars is going slow's fault that you're running late for work. It's your fault. Now deal with it. All right? We all have that. We kind of chuckled when he said it. You know why we chuckled? Because we all can identify with it. We all have some character trait, some flaw, something about ourselves that we need the Lord to help us work on. And the Lord is faithful to do that, right? So here when I'm talking about a Lot, I'm not talking about Lot in a bad way. I'm just wanting to bring us to the point that there are going to be things about us that can get us in trouble if we don't work on it. Because the Lord wants to work on this brother right now, because there's going to be something on down the road that's going to affect him, and he's going to need to be just patient about it, and there's nothing he can do about it but wait, right? So let me tell you something else about patience. Do you know one of the key ingredients to faith is patience? If you do not have patience, you do not have very much faith. Because oftentimes what you're going to do, you're going to ask God for a particular thing, and you're going to have to wait for it, right? Lord help us. It happens all the time, doesn't it? All right, now let's go to the 19th chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse. If you go back in the history, we can find out that the Lord told Abraham what he was getting ready to do to Sodom. Now, we take in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you take into consideration, it's said here, that Lot chose the cities in the plain. Remember, we just read that. He didn't have mountains to deal with. He didn't have to go up the hard, difficult places. He didn't have to do that. It was all spread out right there, and it was just perfect. And he's just going to stay here, and we're going to go in that direction. All right? Now, when we take into consideration that he chose, I want us to remember, he chose the easy way. He chose the city in the cities in the plain. Now, let's read in the 19th chapter, first verse.
And there came two angels to Sodom.
came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot said in the gate of Sodom, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your way. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to abide in the street all night. He pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. He made them a feast. He baked unleavened bread, and they did eat. So here's two guys, two angels. Now, the scripture says it's angels that come into the city of Sodom, and this is where Lot was, and he was standing in the gate. And these guys come in, and he said, we're going to just stay in the street. He said, no, it's not safe in the street. It would be kind of like somebody that we see, and back then they did. Somebody we see, it's not safe for you to stay out there. Let's come into my house. I'm going to feed you, wash your feet, all these things, all right? Continue. But before they lay down, and I want us to get a hold of this, but the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, and all the people were from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, Where are the men that came into thee this night? Bring them unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him. So in other words, let's bring it in where we can understand it, where it fits for us today. I've got some people that come to our house. You have people that come to your house, a couple of friends that come to your house, and then now what happens is everybody in our neighborhood here, in the 10 blocks on each side, all the neighbors come in, and they're beating on my door demanding that you bring these folks out, and we're going to abuse them. And what would you do? What would you do? It's important for us to understand the background here. Because what's going to happen is the Lord's going to lay judgment on this. Right? He's going to lay judgment on how evil these people were. And we're not talking, and I want to be very clear in what we're talking about. This just goes beyond anything normal or natural. All right? So God is not just going to come and rain down fire and brimstone and bring everything to an end because somebody just doing, it's something that happened. And something was beyond. Now, what would you do if everybody came and beat down your door in your neighborhood? Sister was talking about her neighborhood and how it's a little more safe because there was a shooting. What would you do if everybody in your neighborhood just gathered around and tried to destroy you? What would you do? Okay? All right, read.
And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door. He
went out and shut the door after him.
Said, I pray you
do not so wickedly. Behold now.
I have two daughters.
Yeah. I'm going to jump over that. That's even more because I don't even understand why Lot would do that. Let's go to the ninth verse and say, all right, I don't even want to read it. You can read it on your own, okay?
And they said,
stand back. Yes.
This one fellow came into sojourn.
Yes.
Will need to be a judge.
Yes.
Now we will deal worse with thee than with them.
All right.
And they pressed up on the man.
They pressed on Lot. And they came near to break the door down. So they were going to just do it. Now what would happen? What would happen if Lot got a machine gun? Really? Okay. I didn't say that. But what would have happened if Lot had gotten a gun? And you think it would have been justifiable homicide? Do you think that he probably could have gotten off? Because right here, they're getting ready to... And here, the reason I'm bringing this out, because I think it's very important as to why God said, you know what, this is just too much. If we go on down and we read it, that he destroyed... We would say, she said, blow his brains out. All right, I understand. But I think that there is a part of all of us that would say something needs to be done, right? I think all of us would say that. Now, here's the point that I want to make. Something needs to be done to stop the behavior. You're not just, it's just not a private thing. This is now you're coming and you're invading my
privacy. You're invading me now. And so therefore, I need to stop this. And how do we stop? And we talked about this before. How do you stop behavior that you don't want to take place? Do you know why there's a jail? You know why there's police? You know what happens? We lay judgment on behavior that we don't like. Right? And the only way for us to truly stop this behavior, whatever behavior it is, however evil it is, the only way for us to truly stop it is for us to go, for us to lay judgment on it. And this is what happened with Lot. So first of all, the angels, they were about to knock the door down. Then all of a sudden, the angels,
they put forth their hands. And pulled Lot. And
they pulled Lot inside the house.
And shut the door.
And they shut the door.
Now,
here I want to say is they smote the men that were around the house. So instead of getting a machine gun and blowing their brains out, these were angels. And so what they did a preliminary judgment. And the preliminary judgment is we're going to just bring blindness to them. And now, here's one thing I want us to understand as well. The first thing that happened is he tried to reason with them, right? He went out and said, oh, don't do this evil thing. So he tried to reason with them. God is a reasonable God. And so what happens is when you try to reason with these men and they wouldn't reason with him. And then what happened is that there was blindness. And so this blindness was, there was a temporary judgment that the Lord laid down on it. Look, we're gonna make you blind for a space of time. But that didn't stop them either. All right? And so continue. It's just evil. There are evil people in the world. And what I am talking about here is evilness. And that's the essence of what I want us to get a hold of. That is why God is saying, I've been trying. I've done a preliminary reasoning, and that didn't work. And then I tried to do a preliminary judgment. That didn't work. Now, what is going to happen is I'm going to destroy it. Now, if you go back in, I think it may be the eighth chapter. I'm not sure which chapter it is, but the Lord speaks to Abraham and he says, listen, I'm going to go down into this place and I want to see if it's as bad in person as it looks like it is from up here. And so this is what's taking place right now. He's going down on the same level. Do you know that's what Jesus did for us? He is in what chapter? 18th chapter. It's in the 18th chapter. I'm going to go see if it's as bad for me in person as it is from here. So now, after this blindness, which was a type of judgment that was didn't stop, and what it said that they kept trying to find the door until they just got tired.
Both the men that were at the yes. door of the house
yes.
of blindness,
yes.
both small and great,
yes.
so that they wearied themselves to find.
They wearied themselves to find the door. Okay, now, all right. Wearied themselves to find the door. I lost my spot here. What?
12.
You're 12.
12.
Okay. And then what happened? And the men said unto Lot.
Yes.
Okay. So I think they were at the point. Okay. It is as bad as I thought it was. And then he goes to him and he says, says unto the men, hast thou any here besides son-in-law and thy sons, thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy them. You know, one of the things that we were talking about today, the testimonies, was that the Lord's going to come. He really is. And part of the reason that he's going to come, but first of all, do you see the mercy that the Lord gives? Do you see that the desire is not to come in, I'm going to destroy these people. He said, let's give them a chance. But at some point, the Lord's going to come, and we all want to be ready. The testimonies have been, stay ready, and you don't have to get ready. And get ready, and you don't have to, and you can stay ready. That's the most important, isn't it? All right? It's important for us to get a hold of that. And so, here is what I want to, the background information that I want to establish here, is that the Lord is saying, I am going to destroy this place because of the evilness of the people. It's just gone beyond what is normal. It is not just normal. It is beyond that. So therefore, I'm going to destroy it. Now, we said get a machine gun. We have a reason to believe that we can get off if we destroy the people. Well, doesn't God have that right as well? To at least be able to do that? God can do that. Now, I want to establish that because now he says here, for we will destroy the place because the cry of them is waxen in the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get up, you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemeth as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law.
This is what the Lord, and now I'm getting into the essence of what I wanted to talk about. What I showed you was the background. So he went and said, the Lord's getting ready to destroy this place. And we believe that too. We believe that the Lord's going to destroy the world at some point. But he doesn't want to. He doesn't really want to do it. He's just saying, the only way that I can stop this foolishness that's going on and all these things that's happening in the world, that I have sent people out to preach about it. I've sent people out to entreat them. I've done all these kinds of things and nobody's doing it. So at some point, I'm going to have to destroy it. He did it with Noah, didn't he? And just started all over. Well, he's doing it again. He said, I'm going to put the rainbow there. And the reason the rainbow is there is to say, I'm not going to destroy you by water again. It's going to be by fire. All right, so here is the point that we want to make here. If we are not convinced ourselves, it is going to be very difficult for us to convince somebody. So here is Lot. I wonder how convincing he was to his sons-in-law. How convinced he was that God was actually going to do something. If I'm not convinced, I can sit down and tell you, well, he said he was going to do it. You think he's really going to do that? Oh, come on, that's never been done before. And it's one that mocked. But if he wasn't completely convinced, and I don't think he was completely convinced, because as we read down into the to what happened, we can find that there are things that happened with Lot that should not have happened. So here, what is the lesson that the Lord wants us to get a hold of? The Lord wants us to get a hold of this lesson. We cannot convince somebody to live for God if we're not convinced that it is the best thing that has ever happened to mankind. We have to be convinced in our own minds that when I witness to somebody, when I talk to somebody about the Lord, what he's done for me and how he's changed my life and what kind of man I would have been had it not been for the Lord. Do you ever think about that? Are you convinced to the uttermost that the best thing that has ever happened to you is that God saved you? It's the best thing that ever happened to you. Are you completely convinced to the point that you can go and talk to your sons-in-laws and your brothers and your sisters and all those that are around, your neighbors and all of them, that the best thing that has ever happened to me is that God saved me? If you're convinced, then they're going, some that is going to that is going to affect them in a different way than, well, he said he's going to do it, but I don't know. I'm okay. Yeah, Harry, I'm struggling, but I'm okay. Well, if you're struggling, why do I want what you got? I'm struggling too. No, I'm not struggling. I'm fighting. Yeah, the devil is coming against me, but I'm winning. I'm on top. He's coming against me every day. Yeah, see, I'm having the same problems that you have, but listen, I'm winning. I'm on top. The battle has already been won. Jesus Christ has come and won the battle for me. I'm convinced of it. And I'm convinced that whatever battle I'm going to face tomorrow or next week, I'm going to win that one too. Why? Because the Lord has been with me all every step of the way. All right? So here is a point that is so much in here. As the Lord convicted me as I was meditating on it. And I'm sharing with you. What the Lord gave me. Are you completely convinced, Daryl? Are you completely convinced? Are you, or does your depth of conviction and your depth of seeing what God has done for you, that is going to some kind of way rub off, or I don't know the word. Can't find the word. But you're going to find out that the people are going to believe it because they. You believe it. Does that make sense?
You believe it so deeply that you're convinced. And so this is what happened with Lot. He said it was as one that mocked. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, why is he lingering? Because he's not completely convinced that it's going to happen, maybe. I don't know. I'm not in his mind, but he's not completely convinced. Why do people not get saved? And when they do get saved, why is it just kind of on the periphery and kind of not all in? Because, you know, if Pastor Darrell is not all in, why should I be all in? If I can see some reserve in him, why should I be all in? No, but Pastor Darrell is all in. All right, and he says, and while he lingered,
they laid hold
on his hand,
hand of his wife,
hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to them. They brought him forth and set him without the city. So in other words, he didn't even have the wherewithal to just get outside the city on his own. The angels had to help him. Do you know, like sometimes from the destruction of things that are going on in our lives, the Lord himself has to just grab us by the hand and say, get out of that situation. I've seen people like that. I've told you the story about my sister. I had a niece and who was in an abusive relationship. And my sister, she had a way with words. And this guy was beating her and all the, just a bad guy. I told you the story. I'm telling it again. So she went up and she said, "Okay, which dress?" She got two dresses. She said, "Which one of these dresses do you want me to wear to your funeral?" I said, "You had a better thing." "Which one? This one or this one?" I think that got a hold of her, right? And she said, "Because if you stay with that guy, he's gonna end up killing you." I think that's what got my niece out of that relationship. I think that's what got her out of the relationship. So and then she got out of that abusive relationship and never got into another abusive relationship to this day. But the guy that she who she was in, he's in prison. You know why he's in prison? Because he killed the next one. Do you know that sometimes the Lord has to grab us by the hand and pull us out of situations that we never should be in the first place? Shouldn't have been there in the first place. Now get out of the place. And now he's lingering. And I've seen it happen. And I'm giving counsel to women. Why are you still there with this guy? You're not even married to him either. Why are you putting up with this kind of foolishness? And the Lord has to kind of pull us out of there. Why was Lot even there? It was an abusive relationship. It was an abusive environment. We saw that. Why was he still in it? Now he had to pull them all out of it. And he said, now listen, what did he say? This is where we're getting to, all right?
17.
Yes.
And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, he
yes.
said, "Escape."
Now, first of all, he had to grab him by the hand, pull him out of this abusive environment, and because the Lord's getting ready to lay judgment on that abusive environment, right? Read.
And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, "Escape for thy life."
Escape for thy life.
Don't look behind
you. All right, he pulled him out of the situation, got him on the outside of this little town, of the city, and he said, "Don't look behind you. Don't forget about all the things in the past." You know, that's what we have to do when we give our heart to the Lord. We got to run for our lives. We run for our lives. I'm going to run. I'm going to put everything I've got into it. And I'm going to go straight forward. And I'm going to ask the Lord to have mercy. And I'm not going to look back. I don't want to go back to what I was doing before. I'm not going to do that. We don't do it, do we? All right? Read.
"You stay thou in all the plains.
Don't stay in the plains.
Mountains.
Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed." Now, here's what he said. Don't stay in the plains. He was part. Now, there were five cities that the Lord was going to destroy. And we noted at the very beginning of the lesson that that he stayed in the cities in the plain. The easy part. All right? Now there is something that is more difficult for Lot. That the Lord is saying, "Lot, I want you to escape out of the plain
out of the easy part, and I want you to go up into the mountains. And why are you doing that? You're doing it for your life. All right, so I want you to go up into the mountains, and I want, lest you be consumed, right? Is that what it says?
Yes.
All right.
To the mountain, lest thou be consumed.
Yes.
And Lot said unto them.
Okay, now here's what I want to get. This is really the essence of the message here. All right, read.
Oh, not so,
my Lord. You see, he wasn't convinced. Not so, my Lord.
Behold now.
He knew that they found grace in his sight.
And thou hast magnified thy mercy.
You showed mercy unto me by saving my life.
And I cannot escape to the mountain.
I can't do that.
Lest some evil take me.
Well, if you stay here, you're going to die. He said that. So now, here's what we do to God. We negate. He tells us to do something, and we negate it. We negate it and say, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I can't do it. And then we negotiate with him. So the Lord is saying, that's not going to happen. I've never seen it happen before. But God sees the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen. He understands what's going to happen. And we don't understand. We cannot see the end from the beginning. So it's our responsibility to make certain that when God gives us a directive, he tells us something, that we're doing what the Lord tells us to do. How he tells us to do it. When he tells us to do it. Not a partial obedience. Oh, it's good. Yes, I can't do what you tell me to do, Lord. I've been in lots of situations that I did not want to do what God told me to do. But I've learned over the years and with my experience, I've learned that it is better to do what God tells you to do, how he tells you to do it, when he tells you to do it. Because you don't see the end from the beginning. And if you saw the end from the beginning, you would do some things differently. How many times have you thought, this is the best option for me? Staying here in the plains. I made this decision. It's the best option for me, but it's what got you in trouble as well. It's what caused you to lose your wife. It's what caused you to be the father of your own grandchildren. It's true. Because you chose what was easy. What you thought was easy. If you could step back, I don't know what kind of things that he was concerned about in his older age as he looked back down. I lost my children. My sons-in-laws, my daughters that were married to him, I lost that. I lost my wife. All because I thought this was the best choice. Being in the plains, in a city. The city's in the plain. All right, read.
Lest some evil take me and
I can't do this.
Now.
All right.
Behold now, this city is near to flee.
This is what we're going to talk about. Here's the negotiation. It's a little city. It's a little city. It's a suburb. It's a little city, and it's easy to get to. I don't have to go up into the mountains. What you're saying is not exactly how things are really going to be. Let's negotiate, and let's come to a place of compromise. All right? And who are you talking to? You're talking to the angel of the Lord. You're not just talking to another man. You're not talking to Abraham and saying, well, let's compromise. You go to the right, I go to the left. Or you say, this middle ground, we'll just have it as a no man's land. It's not that kind of a negotiation. He's saying specifically to God, and we do that sometimes. Sometimes we say to the Lord, Lord, it ain't going to happen like that. The Lord's saying, don't do that or you're going to be in trouble. And we're saying, it's not going to happen like that. I remember one person, you know, over the course of years you've been as a pastor, and one person told me one time that if the Lord told them before they did a particular thing, the Lord told them that if you do this particular thing, you're going to lose your spouse. They're going to leave you. And it was in his mind that he was going to do that particular thing, and he did it. And she did not leave him right away. But she left him, and they're not together today because the Lord told him. So if the Lord tells you something, do what he tells you to do. Does that make sense? All right, so.
Behold now, this city is near to
flee. It is a little one.
Let me escape thither. Is it not a little
one? Oh, it's just a little bitty thing. and my soul shall live. So in other words, I'm just negating everything that you just said. He said, go up into the mountains and stay up in the mountains lest you die. But he went the easy route. And we all tend to go the easy route sometimes. And I'm not saying that it's anything wrong per se with the easy route, but it's his character. It's just what was easy for Lot to take the easy route out. And some of us, it's going to be the easy thing for us to take the easy route out. But the Lord wants us to know, I don't want you to do that. I want you to listen to what I'm telling you to do. I want you to do what I tell you to do. I don't want you to negotiate with me. I don't want to compromise with you. I don't want to come to a point that you say, well, Lord, I can't go to the mountain. I can't go to the mountains, but here's a little city. Here's the plain here. Here's the mountain here. Here's the place that you're out of harm's reach. But there's a little city right here. And we're going to stop right there. Maybe go just a little higher altitude. So we can negotiate with the Lord. Don't negotiate. But what happened? Let's read that.
And he said unto them.
And he said unto them.
See,
I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. I will not overthrow this city,
for the which
thou hast spoken.
Haste,
escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Zoar, small, little, insignificant town. And the Lord spares that town. But here's another wonderful thing. Do you realize that the Lord spares other people because of you? So the good part of this story is, even though Lot had issues in not strictly obeying the Lord and having partial obedience to what God told him to do, he did not do it in compromising. Well, Lord, I can do this. I can't do that, Lord. How many times have you said that? How many times have we said in our own minds, Lord, I can do this, but I can't do that? The Lord knows what you can do, or he would never have given you the mindset to do it if he didn't know what you could do. So he said, I don't want you to compromise and go here. I want you to be here. This is where I told you to go. But you're wanting to stop right here. And all of us have probably been in places like that, haven't we? I certainly have. I've certainly been in places where, Lord, I wanted to negotiate with the Lord. I didn't really want to do this. And then I found out that it's the best thing for me to do is exactly what the Lord wanted me to do. How the Lord wanted me to do it. When he wanted me to do it. Where he wanted me to do it. I can make all kinds of justifications just like Lot was doing. So this is the essence of my message today. We can make justifications. I can make all kinds of justifications for not doing. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I can make all kinds of justifications for not doing what God wants us to do. I was talking with someone yesterday. And I was saying, you know what? I could have all kinds of justifications for not being here. For not being here. For not being a pastor. It was not the thing that I wanted to do when I was in my formative years. This was not what I wanted to do, but I can't think of anything else that I would want to do instead now. After I've yielded my life to the Lord and I've given him everything that I am and everything that I hope to be, I didn't just give him myself, I gave him my future. I gave him what could have been. I gave him, Lord, I am yours from now into eternity. Throughout all eternity, I'm yours. I made that commitment. I convinced myself. You convinced me that your way is best. The Lord's convinced me that no matter what I go through, God will take me through. I'm convinced of that. Sister said that the fields are white to harvest. The laborers are few. I could have done my own thing, just like Lot did. Lot decided, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to do what I want to do. But the Lord said, it's going to cost you if you do that. So I want to say, the Lord probably is talking to, he sure talked to me in this message. I can't tell you, oh, Brother Darrell, I'm preaching to me. Y'all just happen to be hearing it. A husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruit. Am I convinced that the Lord is coming? Am I convinced that I have to live right? Can I convince you that I have to live right?
Am I making any points of negotiation? Am I making points of compromise? Lord, you're telling me to go here, but I don't want to go there because it's hard. I want to stop right here. Or right here. I'll go a little further. I'm not going to stay in the plains where I was because, Lord, you've been merciful to me. And he acknowledged God's mercy. He acknowledged what God had done and how God had been merciful. Let me tell you what mercy is. Mercy, all of us don't, none of us deserve it. The Lord could have wiped all of us out. We were all that person that was pushing the door in. We were all there. There's not a soul here that wasn't, that was trying to destroy everything that God stood for. Well, I don't see myself like that. Okay, you don't see yourself as an enemy of God. I don't see myself, I never have seen myself as an enemy of God, but at one time I was. So, little bitty things. So the Lord gave him that. Have you ever had a fear of going up into the mountains and just going into the unknown? I don't know what it looks like, and struggling to obey what God tells you to do. We all have. I don't want to obey it, Lord. I want to be faithful to you, but I don't want to do that. That's what that little city of Zoar stands for. This is Zoar. The little city. Now here's the cities of the plain. I'm not here, but I'm not here. This is ultimately where God wants me to be. But I want to stop somewhere right here. So I'm going to compromise with the Lord. And you know the Lord lets you compromise with him. This is what he did here. And it's not a big thing. It's not a big thing. It's not a grand, great, horrible thing that I'm doing. I'm out of this. I'm out of the issues here. But look at his life. What happened? Whereas if he'd have done that, look at what happened with his wife. Look at what happened with his daughters. We won't go into all of that. What am I trying to say here today? And I'm gonna bring this to an end. That little city called Zoar, is a place that we compromise with the Lord's dealings for us. Does that make sense? Where the Lord says, listen, I've got so much more for you. Here's what I want us to understand. Up in the mountains, I've got so much more for you. I want to do such great things with you. Do you believe the Lord can do great things with you? Yes. Do you believe that the Lord can do great things with this little hodgepodge of a group here? Do you think that individually God can do wonderful, spectacular things with you? I believe he does. I believe he can. And I believe what God wants to do with me, with you, with every person here, I believe that God says, listen, I don't want you to go to Zoar. Yes, it's a little place, God. I can't go up to the mountain. I can't do this. It's so hard. It's so hard. You know what? I learned something. I was talking to an individual that I know the Lord was talking to. And we were talking about some things, and I said, you know what I have learned to do in my own experience? I've learned that when things get hard, instead of running away from it, run toward it. I know that's counterintuitive, isn't it? When I see it, and I've learned this, I had to train myself to do this. It's not easy. But some of the big, scary booger man stuff that seems to happen when you get it, when you go toward it and it growling and you see the shadow of it and then you go and look behind and all that is a little bitty something down here that's scared of you. And it's projecting itself. The light is behind it. It's projecting itself. Looks like this big old whatever. You ever go to the movies? You ever see that big old movie screen? And you go behind the movie screen, what's behind it? Nothing. Lord, help us. So, when you see the Zoar, and the Lord is saying, when you're wanting to stop at Zoar and compromise and negotiate with the Lord and tell him, Lord, no, it can't be. If I go up here to the mountain, I'm going to die. And the Lord says, all right, you can go to Zoar.
You haven't gotten all the full blessing that the Lord wants to give you. Because you're scared. All of us are scared. There's not a person here that doesn't get scared. I get scared. But I've learned by the grace of God that God has this ability to calm my fears. And as I go forward, sometimes I don't run toward the and this is why people, I think some people think about my personality. I was sharing this with he's a friend of mine. I was sharing it with him. I said, you know, I have that kind of personality that I've learned. And here's what I've learned. As I run, as I walk, and sometimes I don't run toward the danger, I walk toward it. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to see what the Lord does, and I'm going to see if that door opens, and if it automatically opens. I'm not going to push it open. I'm not going to force it, but I'm going to go forward by the help and the grace of God. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to turn tail and say, oh, I'm not going to the mountains. I'm going to the mountains. It might take me a little while to get there, but I'm going. Will you go with me? Will you go up to the mountains with me? Let's not stop at Zoar. Let's not stop at the little places. That's easier. Let's go where God wants us to go. I'm going. There are difficulties that I face, and there are things that questions that I have in my mind, and there are things that I'm saying, Lord, if you don't take care of this, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been in financial problems. I've had issues that the Lord has taken me through every one of them. And so some people say, well, you know what? I wouldn't do that. That just doesn't seem like wisdom. Okay. But does it seem like faith? Sometimes faith doesn't appear to be wisdom. But if the Lord tells me to, well, I don't know if the Lord really told me to do that. And I find out, spend some time praying. Spend some time asking the Lord whether or not this is, do you want me to go stop at Zoar? Or is this Zoar? It's a lot comfortable. It's a lot more comfortable. This little city is a lot more comfortable than going all the way up to the mountain. No, let's see what's up there. There might be a vein of gold there. But let's go up there and see. No, it's not very many people. It's the hard thing to do, and not very many people do it. Let's stop compromising and negotiating with what God tells us to do. You can if you want to, but let's stop doing. He told me to go here, and it's the hard thing to do. It's the most difficult thing to do. And my character says, I can't do it, Lord, and I'm scared. But I'm going. I'm going. Amen. I'm going to go. Listen, I'm going too. And sometimes it looks like I'm all confident and I'm walking like this, but yes, I'm shaking too. Right. I'm not going to tell you, oh, Brother Darrell, everything is going just fine with him. He just seemed like nothing bothers him. Oh, yeah, it bothers me. I'm just not going to let you know about it. I let God know about it. Lord, I'm shaking in my boots. This is what you told me to do. And I have told the Lord, since I've been here in Sacramento, I've told the Lord, Lord, you're the one that told me. When I get into a bind, whatever the bind may be, Lord, you're the one that told me to come here. You're the one that told me to come here. You know why I tell him that? Because you obligate yourself to take me all the way to the mountain. I don't want to stop here at Zoar because it's easier. I'm going to the mountains. I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to do it if it kills me. And then if I die, I go to heaven, and it's all over anyway. Win-win. If I go to the mountain, I get the vein of gold or whatever it is up there. Win-win. You can't lose when you're with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's the most wonderful thing. You can't lose when you're with the Lord. Let's go to the mountain, y'all. No stopping at the little city called Zoar. No negotiation. No negating what God is saying. Well, Lord, I'm going to die if I... No, you're going to die if you stay in Zoar. A lot of stuff is going to happen. You're going to have to get undone. There's going to be so much. Lord, have mercy on us. I believe that's enough. Pray for me.